Many of you know Bill Jokla. Bill helped me put this presentation together and some of the data, so I'm not taking full responsibility. So what we're going to discuss over the next 10 or 12 minutes, because hopefully we'll have some questions, why we did this research, how we did it, what we actually measured, and some of the results. It's a four-year trial. We're still analyzing some of the results, but what I thought that we could share with you that we feel pretty confident about is we have pretty good numbers on cumulative and relative ammonia emissions and nitrate leaching. It's a trade-off study. If you conserve one, what happens to the other? We have good data on crop yield and nitrogen uptake. That's not going to change. Also, we did a partial nitrogen balance for the experiment. It's kind of our check to see if our numbers are working correctly. And I'll summarize the findings. So why we did this research? Basically, as we've discussed and been presented, that the incorporation of manure into soils is advocated as a practice to reduce odors and also emissions of ammonia. So the principal question we had, would the conservation of ammonia by manure incorporation increase nitrate leaching? So what would be the trade-offs in the incorporation reducing ammonia losses and increasing nitrate leaching losses? So the experiment, we have three manure incorporation methods that we accomplished with our fancy research manure spreader. So our first method was splash plate, no incorporation, so basically just no incorporation. And our second was partial incorporation with an airway tool that we've discussed and it's been presented, but basically what we get is pockets where manure falls. We didn't try to apply just inside the pockets, it was surface applied, so some landed in the pockets and some didn't. And then we had injection. So just a word about the injectors. Some years we didn't accomplish covering up the slots, and some years it did. And I'll talk about that a little bit during the presentation. It depends on soil moisture, as you can imagine. So we applied, the manure was applied in three intervals. The way that we measured ammonia emissions is tremendously labor intensive. So what we did is we applied our treatments during a particular week, week one, the three treatments, and then we'd monitored ammonia for 5 days, 120 hours, and then we did the second week, again monitored ammonia emissions for 5 days, and then the third one. We did this for 4 years. So after the first year of application, we couldn't get out there and finished our applications until the end of June. So we planted oats after that. And then our second year, we did the same thing. Our ammonia emissions for 1 week, and then for our second rep, the second week, third rep, the third week. And then we planted corn silage followed by cereal rye. And then the third year, again, we repeated the application on the same plots and planted corn silage. And the fourth year, again, we applied manure on the same plots and planted corn silage. So the things that I'm going to talk about, what we measured, were, of course, we measured the total amount of nitrogen applied in the form of manure and the ammonium content of that manure and the amount of nitrogen lost as ammonia, the amount of nitrate. Nitrogen leached, and I'll talk about crop yield and nitrogen uptake. So our manure applications, just to bring you down to this point, our manure applications across all the treatments were 75 meter cube per hectare. So that was equivalent to 8,000 gallons, and that was determined to be the maximum capacity of our injector. So the first year we did some trials to figure out what was the rate that we could get with our injector, and that was the rate that we applied to all. But we had really dilute material, 1.7% dry matter the first year, but generally within the range of 4 or 5% dry matter. And I'd like to bring your attention just to these because we'll talk about these. 100 and, say 150 to 200 somewhat kilograms of total nitrogen, and about half of that was ammonium nitrogen. Now, when I get to the crop yields, the crops didn't respond to this nitrogen for a variety of reasons that I'll talk about. So ammonia emissions were measured using dynamic chambers, and I think they've been presented a couple times. We had three chambers per treatment, and again, we've measured ammonia for 5 days per treatment, and it's based on the equilibrium concentration technique that maybe some of you are familiar with, but these are the traps for ammonia, and we put the box on and extract the traps periodically. And then nitrate leaching was measured in drainage lysimeters that Michael Russell had set up 10 years prior to the start of this experiment, so they were well seasoned. Here's Michael in the field. He's actually installing larger lysimeters in an adjacent field, so we take advantage of Michael's labor to get these lysimeters in, but he is a collaborator on all these projects. And many of you know how the drainage lysimeters work. So our experimental site, here it is, at the Dairy Forage Research Center in central Wisconsin. And here is one of our replications. So we have three boxes on a particular manure application treatment. Here we have our three application treatments. And this happened to be ammonia measurements in 2005, the second week on block two. So I'll get into results, and I'd like to kind of orient you to the 4 years of the study, because the next four slides, three or four slides, are going to be based kind of on this arrangement. I'm not going to switch them on you. So basically, for ammonia emissions, we had 2 years where we had relatively low emissions, and we had 2 years where we had really high emissions. And again, well, let's look at the effect. We are our highest emissions, everyone can guess, were where manure was not incorporated, and they were significantly higher than where manure was injected. So we were able to reduce emissions by injecting manure. Nothing particularly new there. And the partial incorporation, the airway tool, was able to reduce ammonia emissions kind of halfway in between. So our emissions were kind of half of what they were in the broadcast and the injection. Typically, most of our emissions occurred within 48 hours, although some years we had our maximum emissions at 12 hours or 24 hours. So that did change depending on the year. So I'll get you oriented to those four graphs again, because we have high emissions during these 2 years and low emissions. And then we look at one more thing. One thing that we're still analyzing is the impact of rainfall pattern during our emission measurements, the beginning soil moisture when we started our measurements, to look at possible relationships between rainfall pattern during the 5 days that we measured and the initial soil moisture. So we have that information that we're still working on. So those years that we had very high ammonia emissions, we had very low nitrate leaching emissions. If you're going to lose it as ammonia, well, then it's not there available for nitrate leaching. And if we look at the effect of our treatments on, yep, here they are. So our lowest nitrate leaching losses were significantly lower with injection than they were with the airway. And I'm going to bring your attention to the airway implement, because this had consistently the highest nitrate leaching losses for the 3 years that we did measure nitrate leaching. But as we can remember, we had high ammonia losses for broadcast treatment, less nitrogen available for leaching, and that is exactly what happened. And actually, this shows the trade-offs. So what is the relative amount of nitrogen that is lost as ammonia nitrogen versus nitrate leaching? Those years where we have very high ammonia losses, very low nitrate leaching losses, versus those years that we had low ammonia losses, we had that available for leaching, and indeed we did find it in leachate. And there was an incorporation effect on that, again, the highest losses being with incorporation, partial incorporation with the airway implement. So over the four-year study period, if you put everything together, we find that no incorporation We have our highest nitrogen, total nitrogen losses, and most of that nitrogen is lost as ammonia. Less loss is nitrate leaching. Through partial incorporation, we get significantly less ammonia losses, but we get a significant increase in nitrate leaching losses, and injection is halfway in between. If we look at the percent of total nitrogen applied that was lost, we have 10 to 30% of the total nitrogen. Our lowest relative losses were with injection, half coming from ammonia, half from nitrate leaching. About 27% of our nitrogen that we applied lost through non-incorporation, and about two-thirds of that comes as ammonia, one-third is nitrate leaching, and the airway is in between. So I'd just like to come back to this total nitrate leaching losses. Over the 4 years of the study, we have most of the nitrogen being lost via nitrate leaching with the airway implement, and there seems to be a residual effect. We did not apply manure in 2008, but with these drainage lysimeters, you have to keep draining them. But so we keep finding significantly more nitrogen coming out of those plots where the airway implement was used than the other plots. Again, no effect on crop yields. This was kind of interesting, but no effect on crop nitrogen uptake for the 4 years of the study. And basically, we have high productivity soils, a relatively low amount of manure nitrogen applied. So the amount of nitrogen that was conserved did not elicit a positive crop response. That could be changed. The last part is I'd like to talk about the four-year partial balance for nitrogen. If we look at all the nitrogen that we put into our system and all the nitrogen that we could account for in coming out, so the nitrogen that we put into our system is manure nitrogen applied. Mineralized soil nitrogen, and for that we use a proxy of soil nitrogen uptake in control plots, adjacent control plots. And then if we subtract the amount of nitrogen that the crop took up due to our treatments, the amount of ammonia nitrogen that we accounted for, and the amount of nitrate nitrogen accounted for. And if you look at inputs versus outputs, manure nitrogen, 634 kilograms that we applied over the 4 years. Soil nitrogen is about 480 kilos, which is about half the crop nitrogen uptake of our treatment plots. And we find this fairly consistent with our crops. Crops in our control plots take up about half of the nitrogen as a well-fertilized crop. So this is the inputs, about 1,000 kilograms of nitrogen. And we look at the different outputs under the different treatments. And boy, we came really close to accounting for all of the nitrogen that went into the system into our outputs. So only about, this is 2.5% of our nitrogen inputs that we were not able to keep track of in our outputs. And this is about 10%. This is probably denitrification immobilized by soil organisms, and we're still keeping track, we do have the soils value. So the summary, ammonia emissions follow typical loss patterns. Most occurred during the 48 hours, although there was some difference. There was a great variation in annual loss of ammonia and nitrate, and there was that trade-off, as you can see. The partial incorporation of manure decreased ammonia emissions during 3 of the 4 years, but this was accompanied by an increase in nitrate leaching 2 of those 3 years. During the year after the trials end, nitrate leaching continued in our plots where manure was partially incorporated using the airway tool. And manure injection reduced ammonia emissions during 3 of the 4 years, but these reductions were not accompanied by an increase in nitrate leaching loss. Compared to no manure incorporation, partial manure incorporation and injection decreased total nitrogen loss by 18 and 65% respectively. Whereas manure incorporation, especially injection, conserved nitrogen, no beneficial impacts were noted in our crop yields or our crop nitrogen uptake. Thank you.